You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yes, indeed. Happy Who Dat Day, everybody. It is Saints football back. Preseason game number one, taking on the LA Chargers. We'll be counting you down to all that. Our coverage starting right now here on First Take. Cullen Coleman keeping us in line, along with Charlie Long. I'm Steve Geller. And boy, oh, boy, these are my favorite start times, guys. Not too early, not too late. Perfect in the middle of 3 p.m. kickoff.
How many of these do they have in the regular season?
I think it's like around four, I believe.
It's that many?
Yeah, it is that many, right?
Okay, let me double check that. That's awesome.
Yeah, the start times, you don't have to wake up, you know, too early in the morning to get going, but I will say I got my little sweat going from my caffeine fix on the black tea going right now.
I'm surprised, Steve. You're 100% correct. It's actually five.
Woohoo!
It's one more than you expected. Week three, they're at Seattle, so West Coast game. Week six, they play the Patriots at 3:25. That's an afternoon game at the Dome. Then later on in the season, week eight, they play Tampa Bay at 3:05. At LA, week nine, 3:05. So back-to-back kind of later starts. And then week 15 versus Carolina, 3:25. However, in that list, and Atlanta as well. So a lot of kind of later
starts.
TBD
at the end of the year. We will see what
happens. Yeah, exactly. No primetime games, though, for this black and gold bunch. So.
See, for me, I've talked about this selfishly. I love no primetime games. Yeah. It means we're not doing the post-game show until 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's definitely late nights, but everyone loves primetime football.
Sure.
And, you know, it's kind of funny. This is the last preseason game of week one, but it's not a primetime game. It's a afternoon game because the preseason schedule is weird. You had all those games yesterday, and then the Sunday, which is typically loaded with NFL games, a little bit lighter. So it's the Miami-Chicago matchup and then the Saints-Chargers matchup.
So much to be looking for in this preseason matchup. So happy Saints football is back. But there is, I feel like, no real definitive, you know, position set anywhere right now, Charlie. There's a whole lot of question marks going in today. And obviously, the QB competition, a number one, I think, on who that's list. And I'm sure this team's list as well to determine who's going to be the starter this season. We will see Spencer Rattler getting that first crack at it with the ones today. Definitely Tyler Shuck, Jay Kaner to be in the mix. We'll hear from all three quarterbacks at some point during this Caesar Sportsbook First Take. But after that, you got question marks in the wide receiver room, the running back situation, even the offensive line. I'm just touching on the offense right now, too, and tight end numbers, where there is no, I would say, leaders in the clubhouse at this moment. There's still a ton of positions, jobs up for grabs, you could say, being determined here. Like in the wide receiver room, after your Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Brandon Cooks, the rest of the running back room is a huge question mark. And for those three guys, I really don't know how much we're going to see of them today, especially with Olave dealing with a little bit of an ankle tweak.
So Kellen said after the scrimmage on Friday that it's going to be about a half a dozen players on both sides of the football that don't play today, as far as like you know, the high-end
starters.
We know
Alvin Kamara is definitely one.
Alvin Kamara is the one. The rest would be speculation for us to throw out there, like who exactly won't be playing. He was non-committal. Going back real quick to the offensive line, I know that when I played the bite for Bobby for one of the reports this morning,
right,
Bobby had talked about it on Tuesday that, you know, if you want to kind of get some gel and some consistency with this starting five that hasn't played a lot of snaps together because it's a brand new look starting five, you want to give them some reps together in the preseason. Now, how many reps do you actually give them? Do you give that starting five any reps at all in preseason number one? It's going to be something to keep an eye on. I imagine that they're going to want to kind of keep Eric McCoy specifically bubble wrapped. But maybe he plays a little bit in the preseason. I'm not sure if he's going to play preseason week one. But
just to get that cohesion, that,
exactly,
you know, that, like you mentioned, that gel factor down.
Correct. With Kelvin and the new left tackle, Trevor as a new left guard. And then obviously Eric and Caesar have been center and right guard for the past few years. But then Tali moving back over to right tackle. It's a new look offensive line, very talented offensive line, but they need to play together. And you don't get too many legitimate snaps in practice for offensive linemen. So,
right, scrimmage snaps are still different from live reps in a preseason game.
Exactly, because you're still not taking guys to the ground necessarily in scrimmage matchups. But in the preseason, you kind of want to see those guys get some action at some point. We'll just see how much they get and when they actually get it.
Yeah, now, like I said, with the wide receiver room too, I have a question mark with, are you going to see Olave today? I know he's dealing with an ankle issue.
Yeah.
Rashid Shaheed and Brandon Cooks, a veteran guy. Curious to see the Saints plan for the offense, but you figure if you're trying to get your first string quarterback set, you're going to want to see most of those first team offensive guys in place as well.
Yeah, like once again, no Kamara involved, which is good because there's plenty we have to say
I'm
about the running back
Olave.
Position. I doubt Olave too because of the injury.
Right,
they've said it's
not because
very
of the
minor
head issues.
No, it's an ankle issue.
Right, no, the not because of the past head issues,
yeah,
he's had,
you're
worried about it.
Right. He has an ankle issue. They said it's very, very minor, but at the same time, you don't want to make anything worse, so I don't
rest
imagine
up a couple days. We'll see
right
if you're ready to go against the Jags.
Correct. I don't imagine you're going to see Olave. It could be wrong. Maybe it really is that minor that he was just able to go a couple days later. But he wasn't really a participant in the scrimmage on Friday. And so I think that's probably going to hold him out of this game in all likelihood, but we'll just kind of have to see there. As far as the other receivers, like how much run does Brandon Cooks get? How much run does Rashid Shaheed get early on in the preseason? And then you have kind of those wide receiver, like the back end of the wide receiver room. If you're carrying five or six receivers who are going to be like kind of fill out 4 to 6, basically, with Cedric Wilson, with Bub Means, with Mason Tipton, you know, Dante Pettis, Donovan Peoples-Jones, all these other guys that are going to be battling it out for spots.
And then looking at the tight end room, are we going to see Juwan Johnson in action, or does he get held back? He's been dealing with a little bit of a groin issue.
Right.
Do they decide to rest him, or do you want to see your number one TE in action with the number one offense?
Same thing with Olave there. I think because he's got like maybe a pre-existing thing, they're going to be a little bit safer
right
with him during the preseason, right? Maybe if this was a regular season game and if it wasn't, you know, super major, that he might still go.
Buckle up for Jack Stoll,
Malik
Michael
Matavau.
Jacobson.
Yeah, Michael Jacobson. You know, we'll talk a little bit about the draft picks as well throughout the show, Steve, but I've heard Maliki Matavau's name pop up a couple different times. The tight end out of UCLA, one of their two seventh-round picks, the other one being Fadil Diggs, the defensive end out of Syracuse. It's also apparently flashed a little bit. So, you know, we always get these texts that come in saying like, hey guys, like who's going to be the next diamond in the rough that the Saints get on day three, late on day three? Like who's the seventh round pick that's going to turn into a contributor? Who's the UDFA that's going to turn into a contributor? And there's a few guys that, you know, are on that list for this upcoming year that we'll see if they make some contributions in the preseason.
Really sad that we're not talking about running back Devin Neal, who was looked at maybe possibly one of those late round steals, but he is dealing with a hamstring issue. We know Kellen Moore said he was going to miss a few weeks a couple days ago, so he's not going to be in action today either. A guy that you want to see put up to do something in these preseason games
in a super, super
competitive room,
running back spot, because Alvin Kamara is your RB1, and then past that it's like who is going to step up and be RB2. There are seven running backs on this roster right now. By the time you get to the final 53, like you heard the Deuce bite that I played during the report, Deuce thinks it's going to be three running backs on the active roster and a fourth on the practice squad. That's how he thinks they'll handle it.
Makes sense.
There's Kellen said 3-2-4. Right, so he's kind of leaving the door open. Kellen's had a lot of good things to say about the running back spot. Once again, we'll do a deep dive into the running back position because there's a lot that we have to say about that. That's maybe behind the quarterback spot, the number two most interesting competition throughout the preseason to keep an eye on, just because there's so many guys that are going to be battling it out for so few spots, right? So past Alvin, you have Kendra Miller, who's probably penciled in. Like, you don't want to say it's written in ink or anything like that.
Hey, we're just happy he's healthy right now.
Exactly. RB2 right now, right? Devin Neal, as you mentioned, the hamstring injury really, really stinks. But sixth round pick, a guy that you're really high on. By the way, I went back. I remember we talked about this on Friday, Steve. I went back and looked. I was wrong. You want to know how many running backs did get drafted this past year? I was texting with my buddy about this because he's saying, like, man, it feels like running back rooms around the NFL are awesome right now. Like, they're all feel like they're loaded. 25 running backs got drafted in the 2025 NFL draft. I think I said it was like, I think it was around 20.
Okay.
It was 20 in 2024. So back-to-back years, I mean, these teams are just getting flushed with running back talent. And so the Saints, it was a loaded class. You wanted to get one. Because it was so good and so many guys fell into day three, you were able to get a guy like Devin Neal, who was extraordinarily productive at Kansas in college in the sixth round. And it feels like a good steal. But the hamstring issue kind of stinks because we're not going to see him for this preseason game and maybe not even the next preseason game. So that's another name in that room. And then you have some of the veterans, right? Well, I guess we can also say the rookie with the UDFA and Marcus Sharns out of Delaware.
Correct.
Is one of those names too. Going back to what I just said about, you know, people asking, oh, who are the diamonds in the rough, the potential seventh round contributors, the UDFA contributors. Marcus Yarns is a very, very interesting name to keep an eye on. A lot of people thought he was a draftable prospect. He ends up not being drafted out of the 25 guys that were drafted at the position. And then the Saints go and scoop him up in the UDFA pool. And then you have like the veterans, like I mentioned, Velus Jones, you have Cam Akers, you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, all guys that are going to be fighting for a roster spot. So that competition, as we mentioned, is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I'm excited to see what Velus Jones Jr. can do in some game action. He was a guy that I felt like consistently at practices, you were writing his number down, number 13. And
right.
You think Michael Thomas right off the bat, at least I do with number 13, but I was like, that's Velus. And but 13 was down a lot in my notes, so we'll see if that can translate into an actual game.
I think I'd heard the comparison for Velus, like, could he potentially be something like a Cordero Patterson?
Yeah, Deuce had said that, right.
That was what Deuce had said. Okay, making sure that I got that from the right
spot.
No,
you got it right.
So is he going to be involved? My question is he going to be involved in special teams?
That's
is he going to be
right.
involved in kick return, punt return? Because if he is involved in that spot and ends up flashing throughout the preseason,
you can put his name in ink then, right?
I think he's in.
Yeah.
And maybe you do carry four running backs on the active roster, because I don't think you're going to be cutting your rookie running back in Devin Neal unless, you know, something crazy would happen.
Right.
And then Kendra Miller, once again, the talent that he flashes, even with the injuries, you still want to kind of keep taking your shot at him, so to speak. So that's another way that you can make the roster. It's kind of under the radar. It's underrated, but through special teams, right? So if Velus Jones is awesome in the punt return, kick return game, and he looks like a Cordero Patterson, he could have a spot on this roster.
Yeah, then you come down to two guys that might end up, you know, canceling each other out, like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire and a Cam Akers.
Right. And which one of those guys are really going to show up throughout the preseason? You know, it's going to be some tough cuts in that room. Kellen's already said it. He feels like all the guys in that running back room are NFL running backs. You have seven of them. You got to get it down to three, maybe four. So we'll just kind of have to see how it goes.
We've just been talking about all offense right now, too. We didn't even touch on the defense yet.
Yeah, we still got a good amount of time here, Steve. We'll have plenty of time to dive into it.
Looking at the guys you're not expecting for the defensive side of the ball, I think that's pretty easy. Cam Jordan.
Justin Reed, maybe.
Probably Justin Reed. Probably DeMario Davis.
Alante, maybe.
I don't know.
You think Alante's going to get some run?
I would think so, just because he's still one of the younger players adjusting to this new scheme and his new role in this Staley off this defense as the star, you know, okay. That slot corner.
What about Davin Godshaw?
That's a good question. He's new to these parts, but a guy that I think has enough skins on the wall, as Bobby would say.
Right.
Maybe you get a series with him in, but I don't expect much play for Godshaw.
I would agree. So, once again, this is going off of what Kellen had said, basically half a dozen guys on each side. And maybe it's not six, maybe it's five different defenders that won't be playing. But getting your first kind of taste of playing in the new scheme against an opponent, I think, is pretty important for a lot of these guys. So you could be right about Alante. One guy that I think could potentially get some run, and it's someone that with Coach Moore has been very, very heavily praising throughout camp, is Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Kool-Aid, brother.
Get him some work on the outside early on. Let him go. See what he's got. Because if you remember what happened for the Chargers in their first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game against the Lions, Trey Lance threw it around the yard. So let's see. Like, I'm not saying that Trey Lance is an NFL starter at this point, but he looked really good against the Lions in that preseason matchup, and I imagine he's going to get some more run today. So maybe get a couple of your first team DBs out there and have them go against the Chargers.
One of those names we want to see something from in this preseason, because wasn't a whole lot of note-taking on Isaiah Foskey. You know, the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert has talked about him a lot going into this season. Big year for Foskey just because his role has been a special teamer, and that's not good enough.
He got into it with Cam about Foskey. I remember like at the presser, like Cam talked about, he's coming into his own. Yeah, he better.
Tick-tock, right?
I mean, legitimately, former second-round pick, and he has not contributed anything to the Saints at the NFL level. So, yeah, if he flashes a little bit throughout the preseason, great. But, I mean, Steve, via all the reports, he hasn't done it in practice. So, that's I'm a little bit wary about Isaiah Foskey. But, you know, hopefully that he goes out and shows out in preseason and kind of gives Saints fans a reason to be a little bit excited for him.
No, names like Chris Rumpf, Jasheen Davis, even Fidel Diggs has flashed a lot more where they've showed up in our note-taking than a guy like Isaiah Foskey, unfortunately.
Yeah, Fidel Diggs, going back to that name, the former Syracuse defensive end, someone seventh-round pick, that if you're looking for those potential diamonds in the rough, these are the names that you should see how they perform throughout the preseason, if they can earn their roster spots, like the Maliki Matavaus, the tight end, the Fidel Diggs, the defensive end, and then also, once again, Marcus Jarrence, the running back out of Delaware. So, yeah, the defense, specifically the defensive line, the early returns have been very solid throughout, you know, throughout training camp, and now you get to see, is that legit, or is it, you know, does the Saints offensive line have some issues?
I sure hope not, right?
Exactly, but you only really get to see throughout the preseason with real competition against another team.
Checking in real quick, Charlie, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. If you want, sound off 504-260-1870. Let us know what you're up to, what you're looking for, where you're going to be watching the game. Seeing, though, dealing with another preseason action from 3225 says to us, Charlie, you all think that Shedeur Sanders is going to make Cleveland's 53-man roster? Man, after that preseason showing, heck yeah.
I would imagine so. A lot of these young quarterbacks have been performing very well. Even Cam Ward, right? He has that first series where he goes 0-for-2 against the Buccaneers. And then the next series, he's like 5-for-6, and he leads a touchdown drive. He doesn't throw a touchdown, but he gets them all the way down the field. Calvin Ridley was heavily involved in the offense for Mr. Ward, the number one overall pick in Tennessee. I'm trying to think of who else. Oh, Jackson Dart was really, really impressive in their preseason opener for the Giants.
Giants have an interesting, you know, conundrum with their QBs as well. Where does everybody kind of slot in there?
I guess you could say, like,
is Russ the starter? I don't know.
I think Russ would probably be starter week one, but by the time the Saints play the Giants later on in the season, it very well may be Jackson Dart, which would be week five. So we'll just kind of have to see there. But also, I guess you could throw J.J. McCarthy into the mix because he didn't play in his rookie season. A lot of these young quarterbacks have looked very solid,
right,
in preseason action number one. So you're hoping Tyler Shuck can do the same, and we'll see if he kind of follows that up.
Taking a break here on Caesar Sportsbook. First Take, we'll be back with even more. Get into some of our Sound Bank audio. You'll hear from Deuce McAllister after Friday's scrimmage. The Black and Gold had to get ready for Sunday's preseason matchup against the Chargers. So stay tuned with even more of First Take right after this on W.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WL. I feel like Jerry Maguire today. You complete me. It's like waking up on a Sunday and we've got football action. And I know it's just a preseason, folks, but I will take any kind, shape, or form of Saints football right now.
Yeah, I watched some preseason football yesterday and I was like, oh, this is fun getting to see some of these young quarterbacks.
For a little bit it is, yeah.
And then it kind of like teeters out, right? The Packers-Jets game last night was UGLY. They had some bad, especially... One of my favorite things to watch during the preseason is special teams because it's guys that are trying to make a roster. And then you'll see these great plays on special teams, but then you'll see like major, major mistakes and like, oh, that's not good for that guy. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with special teams today because you can make a roster via that 53-man roster. Once those cuts are finally coming out, you'll have a special teams coach banging the table. I need this guy on the roster. I need this guy to make the final 53. Figure it out. And, you know, maybe some of these guys can do that for the Saints.
Charlie, one of the best things about working here, we got two former pros that if you need anything, any kind of insight on football, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, right at our disposal to talk to all the time. Deuce is out in California right now, getting ready for kickoff here on WWL Saints Radio at 3 o'clock with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes. But he talked a little about Friday's scrimmage afterwards, and because things going on later with these practices with Kellen Moore, we didn't get to talk about that much on Sports Talk on Friday. So let's hear what Deuce had to say about Friday's scrimmage in California.
I thought it was good work. I mean, because it was a, you know, even Alvin got tackled. So it was a full kind of tackle situation. And the refs did blow the whistle. They weren't going to allow the quarterbacks to get hit. You know, some good stuff. I thought, you know, one guy that popped a few times and injuries kind of hurt him last year was Jalen Ford. He made a few plays and he'll have an opportunity on Sunday to make some plays like that. You know, you, in my opinion, the best player out there was Rashid Shaheed. I mean, you could just see his speed, his explosive. You didn't have – Chris Olave didn't go because of the – he had a slight ankle sprain yesterday, and they just really wanted to hold him out. And so I figure you'll see him probably next week sometime, you know, give him 3 or 4 days off and see how it feels. But pretty good work. I mean, overall, I thought the defense was flying around. Offense did score a couple of times, whether it was Spencer, whether it was Shuck. You know, they led the team. And, you know, a guy that probably didn't have the best day kicking the ball was Charlie Smith. I think at one point he was 0 for 3, you know, on field goals, and that didn't help him. But, you know, overall, you know, they rotated some guys. Offensive line, you had some movement there. But overall, I thought it was pretty good scrimmage.
Name that stands out to me as well is Rashid Shaheed. This camp, he's looked just like a different dude. Happy to see him back.
That healthy.
Healthy. That speed is not a factor after he dealt with, you know, surgery, repairing his meniscus. Thankfully, it was nothing serious. But right off the bat in OTA's mini camp, you saw that there was none of those lingering effects. And every practice, he continues to just kind of stand out to you, look like a different dude. He's got a little more weight to him, so there's a little more physicality to his game to be able to make those quote-unquote contested catches. But I think if there's a guy that's going to be a breakout, a star for this Saints offense this year, hopefully the guy getting the ball does a good job. But Rashid Shaheed, the arrow is way up for me on him.
So our guy Mike Dettillier has mentioned this throughout the offseason that if there's one weapon on the Saints offense that will keep a DC up at night, it's Rashid Shaheed. How do we keep this guy from getting behind our defense and just explosive play after explosive play after explosive play? Because he's shown that he can do it at the NFL level multiple times, and even multiple times in different games. You remember, I know that Jeff had brought this game up a couple weeks back, the Colts game that Rashid Shaheed had, where he had like three catches for 150-something yards or something crazy like that. That's what Rashid Shaheed can do. It's a game-breaking speed element that he brings to the game. So, we'll see what he ends up providing there. One name that Deuce did bring up there on the kind of negative side of it, Steve, I remember when we were kind of previewing training camp and kind of getting into it and talking about the different positional battles that we were going to be keeping an eye on, one name that kept getting brought up was, can Charlie Smith push Blake Groupie?
Nobody's pushing little great Blake Groupie anywhere.
Blake Groupie has been awesome at training camp. Going back to the special teams aspect of things, where I think Jeff had this note as well, that he's 31 of 32 at field goal attempts in camp. That's outstanding.
Fingers crossed that carries into the preseason as well.
It's like more than 96% from field goal range. Like, it's incredible. And as Deuce mentioned, Charlie Smith missed three of them. That's more than Blake Groupie has missed in, you know, the past 2.5 weeks. So I think that competition's been sealed up for a little while now, unfortunately, for Charlie Smith. But I think that's just more of a testament to Blake Groupie knowing that there was a potential competition coming, and he came into camp ready to go, and he looks great.
The big competition, though, is at QB. Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak asked Deuce McAllister a little bit more about the QBs that they saw at the Friday scrimmage.
You know, one thing that I think we've seen in these scrimmages more so than some of the install sessions is off-schedule playmaking. I thought Tyler Shuck had a couple really nice moments today, and I think you see him get comfortable when he's able to play like that. What have been your thoughts on how both these quarterbacks have kind of adapted over the last week?
I'm okay with off-schedule, but, you know, off-schedule can't be an offense. And so the problem you get there is they're always expecting you to break contain, and now it makes it really hard on the offensive lineman. I mean, because now at some point I'm going to get the big hit on the quarterback. And, you know, whether it's a tip pass, I think there was a tip, an interception that happened. Shuck tried to fit one in and the linebacker kept sinking and got it up. And I think it was Sanker that ended up catching it. I mean, and so little things like that happen. I'd rather you be on schedule, but both of those guys are really, really good athletes and they're going to break contain. And, you know, if you can create a play down the field, you'll definitely take it. But, you know, I'm more of the guy that, hey, let's keep it in the pocket. Let's keep things moving. And if it does happen, then you make it happen. And, you know, all three quarterbacks really can do that. But, you know, like you talked about, Spencer gets the opportunity to start on Sunday first. And, you know, we'll see if he can go down and lead the offense a couple times and scores.
Deuce McAllister there talking about that Saints QB rotation. And that's something that, you know, everybody's going to be glued to. We do know that Spencer Rattler getting those first start
yes.
in this preseason matchup. I would imagine Tyler Shuck's going to be right behind him, and then Jake Haner cleaning up things at the end with the third stringers.
It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Right? Yeah. Do they rotate? Does Tyler Shuck start?
A lot
game
of snaps
two?
To go around still,
and I think they're going to share them. All three guys are going to get run at least in preseason game number one, and then maybe if one guy kind of gets ousted from the competition, it turns into two guys at some point. They're going to get work throughout these 3 weeks of preseason, all three of them. Starting with Spencer Rattler today should be a lot of fun to see what he can do. I know that he said he was really fired up. We'll get into his audio later on in the show.
For sure.
Tyler Shuck, kind of same thing, is going to be likely the second guy in, if you had to imagine, and then Jake Haner is the third guy, but we'll just like see how it all plays out, I guess, and see which guy gets the most reps. But another name that popped up there when he was talking, Jonas Sanker. We had a text on our text line talking about the quote-unquote forgotten draft pick in Vernon Broughton. We haven't forgotten Vernon Broughton. He's a third-round pick. He's supposed to be productive at the NFL level when you're taking a guy in the top 100 selections. But also, Jonas Sanker was a third-round pick there. Mm-hmm. The safety battle is going to be another one that we're keeping an eye on, because you know what you have in Justin Reed. There's a reason that you paid him the big bucks this offseason. You brought in Julian Blackman very, very quickly after Tyrann Mathieu hung him up.
And he seemed to blend in seamlessly, thank goodness.
Yeah, and there's the connection with Brandon Staley that,
right.
I mean, Brandon, Steve, you had mentioned this on Friday, that Brandon Staley's been wanting this guy for forever. And now he finally gets him. I know that he's dealt with injury issues throughout his NFL career. But him and Justin Reed as your two starting safeties is all, in all likelihood. But who are the guys behind them? Because typically you'll carry maybe four safeties. I think that's what they carried last year for reference. And then you have so a few guys battling it out for who's going to be the backup safeties behind Justin Reed, behind Julian Blackman, where you have Jordan Howden, you know, a young player that the Saints drafted a couple years back. You have the rookie in Jonas Sanker, and then you have the kind of more veteran in Terrell Burgess as well. So guys that are going to be fighting for one of those roster spots.
Deuce's specialty, definitely running backs. We know that we talked about this in the first segment, the competition there. Pretty heavy, considering you got Kendra Miller, Cam Akers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Velus Jones Jr., Marcus Yarns, unfortunately Devin Neal not in the mix. We know Alvin Kamara set in stone. He's not going to be playing today. But Deuce was asked what he's looking for from the guys in the running back room in order for them to separate themselves from the pack.
One of the first things that you want to see, you know, hey, look, I know you can run the ball. Can you pick up the blitz? You know, can you pick up the guy if he's yours? If he's not, can you help protect the quarterback? Do you know what you're doing? I mean, and so you would love to have plus four, plus five runs on average from those backs. You've got to take care of the football. But, you know, for me, can you protect the quarterback regardless of who's in it at the quarterback position? And so there will be opportunities. You know, if you go out there and look today, it was Cam Akers that got really the second run after Alvin. And then you had Clyde coming in. And then, you know, Kendre will have his moments as well. And so what you do on special teams will matter as well, whether it's going down the field making a tackle or whether it's being explosive to run it, returning a kick and or a punt if they put me back there. So, you know, those are all aspects of making this team, and so I'm looking forward to see those guys having that opportunity.
You know, you're talking about a running back like Kendra Miller.
Yeah.
I know a lot of folks have soured on him or don't believe that he can live up to the hype because of what happened previously, but I will say you talk to him, he feels like a guy that's focused in on what he needs to do. Now, we're going to have to wait and see, but I'm still a believer in Kendra Miller just because of the ability, what we've seen in those flashes when he has been healthy.
Sure.
He talked about maintaining his body, staying healthy going into this year, and knock on wood, that's been the case so far. But I think him and Alvin Kamara could definitely be a lethal 1-2 punch.
Who soured on Kendra Miller was Dennis Allen.
Oh, that's for sure.
That was a really kind of ugly situation at points where DA was flat out calling him out to the media, and it wasn't a good look for either party, really. But Deuce had talked about this last year when Kendra kind of popped up with the hamstring issues throughout training camp, that you got to be a pro, right? And I think at this point, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's a make or break, but it is kind of getting to that point for Kendra Miller.
Third year, for sure.
As a third round pick that has not played many games at the NFL level because of injury.
And a coaching staff that really has no commitment to you. The team does for what they invested, but this coaching staff, they don't care what you've done here before.
But it's kind of interesting because the coaching staff that did invest into him soured on him quickly, like ahead of year two. So maybe the new coaching staff gives him a little bit of a fresh kind of outlook on his future with the black and gold. But he's got to go out and produce. As Deuce was saying, you got to do the little things as well. Like, how do you look in pass pro? How do you look in special teams for some of these guys? Not necessarily Kendra Miller, but, you know, how do you kind of do the little things well? That's how you're going to make this team, and that's how you're going to be on higher up on the depth chart than some of the other guys that you're fighting it out with.
Yeah, on our WWL talk and text line, one of the texters asked, what is that, 9072? Is Kendra Miller playing today? He better sure darn be.
I would be surprised if he doesn't. Because
I would think he comes out as RB1.
Alvin is the only one that's not playing in the running back room, in my opinion. Because
sure,
from 2 to 7, there are jobs open. That's why the bite that I played from Deuce for the report this morning, he talked about opportunity for all of those six guys that are going to be battling it out for two, maybe three spots. So that's why we've talked so much about it, because it's so contentious.
Rolling on here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, Charlie and I going till 1 o'clock. That's when Bobby Hebert stops by for the countdown to kickoff as we get ready for the 3 o'clock start in California. The Chargers taking on the New Orleans Saints preseason game number 1. You can hear it right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We shall return even more of Sports First Take right after this on WWL. Almost at Sports Talk.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Welcome back to WWL and the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Charlie, looking at that Oakland Heart, just the WWL text line here. Someone saying the fact that, did we see Will Campbell highlights from yesterday's Pats game?
They were on Twitter, and I did see them. Will Campbell, former Neville Tiger, local product, former LSU Tiger as well, was mauling people. And, you know,
so
I texted.
He does look like he can survive a tackle. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, I texted him back. It was always so silly. I mean, this is dating back to like March and February. All the people that were saying, oh, his arms are too short. Can't play tackle at the NFL level. And Will was just like, look at my tape, people. Like, that's what matters. Measurables are silly.
You could just say he was aggravated by, he's like, I'm a tackle, but I'll play wherever they want me to, but I'm a tackle.
And look at where they're playing him. The fourth overall pick in the NFL draft to play left tackle and be the blindside blocker for Drake May. He looked really, really good in his preseason opener. And I get it's just preseason and, you know, he only played limited reps. But I think by the time he came out, PFF had put this out. He had like an 85.4 grade in the snaps that he played.
All right, Rook.
Pretty solid. Yeah, so shout out to Will Campbell. Once again, former LSU Tiger, former Neville Tiger, local product. He looked awesome in his preseason debut.
And what is it? We'll be seeing the Patriots week three, right?
It's a little bit later. So, by the way, I did mess that up in the first little segment that we had. It's actually six afternoon matchups, one of which is the Patriots, and that's week six, right?
I'm way off, too.
Yeah, so it's a little bit later on in the kind of early part of the season. It's week six, Sunday, October 12th. You host the Patriots, and that is one of your six afternoon start times at 3:25.
Yeah, and I know the Cajun Cannons talked about this before. That 3:25, when you are the main game on Fox there, that's pretty much prime time. So, I mean, I know we don't have the later primetime kickoffs, but a 3:25 start on Fox, you're the national game of the week.
That one's the CBS kick against New England the week after, and basically the next 6 weeks after are on Fox. But you have a stretch where you're basically – a lot of your early season games are on CBS. So, you know, but yeah, that matchup against New England's a CBS match.
Looking forward to Saints action today, folks. We have a 3:00 kickoff coming up on WWL Saints Radio. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, and of course, Jeff Nowak will be on the sidelines out there at SoFi Stadium. We'll have to see what the weather update is like out there. I didn't get to check this morning real quick, and I imagine it's going to be a nice day out in Cali. Hopefully, no rain. As we know, that stadium is closed, but open in a way where you can get some water in on the field.
Jeff Nowak's favorite stadium. It's a weird one. It's very nice, like how expensive the stadium was.
Very pricey.
But what we're seeing from ESPN is 76 degrees game time weather and partly cloudy. So it's not going to be, I don't think, storming or anything there. It's going to be actually very nice conditions.
Good for the black and gold, and we'll see how the field conditions are. You mentioned 70-some-odd degrees. If there's really any wind going through that stadium, just curious to see if we mentioned the success that Blake Groupie's been having in practice and how dominant he's been as the kicker for the black and gold. That continues into the game-like settings. Everything we're seeing at practice is great, but what happens when it's live bullets going, as they say?
Yeah, it's not going to be 96% throughout the season, but I mean, that's what we've seen in practice so far, and it's been very, very promising. So yeah, you want to see Blake Groupie continue his hot streak, or that he's been on in the first 2.5 weeks of training camp, and see him continue to make those kicks. You know, Steve, it's going to be interesting, and we'll dive a little bit more into the Chargers. Like, with this, the conditions the way they are, it's a good test for these running back rooms. And the Chargers have a good one too, by the way. They have their own kind of really heated battle. I don't know how much we're going to see their first round pick, Amarian Hampton, but I mean, behind him, like, I remember we talked with Lorenzo Neal about this earlier in the week. They have like Hassan Haskins, who was a former Michigan guy, Kamani Vidal, who's at Troy when John Summerall was there.
Yeah,
he terrorized the Sun Belt. I remember him a lot. He was fantastic. He was a former draft pick of the Chargers. And then they have like Najee Harris. So they have all these guys. And then they have even further running backs that are going to be trying to compete for one of the spots in their room. The running back competitions on both sides are going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, on the opposite side for the Saints, how does your defensive line and defensive front look against this Chargers very loaded running back room with guys that are going to be fighting for their own kind of positions on their 53-man roster? So
that's a huge one after last year's numbers that the D-line was giving up.
Yeah, the Saints' run defense did not cut it last year. So by all accounts, the defensive line has looked better early on at camp. You know, they look improved in first year under DC Brandon Staley. And now they get to a really solid early preseason test against a good Chargers running back room. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Want to hear from you, Hoodats out there. You can give us a call or text on the WWL Talking text line, which is 504-260-1870. We're stepping away here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take and be back with even more on WWL Saints Radio after this. WWL and the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Getting ready for more of our audio sound bank that we'll get into in next hour. Hear from the quarterback, Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, and Jake Haener. And I know that's the big one that everybody's been talking about, anxious to see. You know, we've just gotten our glimpses at practice, but what's going to happen when the game-like settings come around? I think that's been Jake Haener's biggest issue, is he's right. Been more of a practice guy than a gamer.
Exactly. I am glad that Kellen Moore has announced the starter ahead of time.
Right, like, we're not
well
guessing
ahead of time.
Still.
Right. After the scrimmage that they did on Saturday or on Friday, which was like half of the scrimmage that they did last Sunday, it was like 126 games last Sunday, and then this a couple days ago it was like 60 something plays. So yeah, it's going to be fun to watch Steve Rattler, Shuck, and Haener. All three of those guys are going to get reps, but it is good to know that Rattler is going to be the starter and know it well ahead of time, so we can all kind of prepare aptly. How much run does he get, and then who comes in after him, and how much, like, how many reps does each quarterback get? You have limited kind of reps even in game action. So it's going to be really fun to see how Coach Moore kind of divides it all up.
Welcome back, Hunter Deckers. But sorry, I don't think there's enough reps for you to even get any look in this game.
He hasn't really even gotten looks in the practices either.
Right.
So is he really going to get reps throughout the preseason? I guess we'll see.
Taking a break here for the top of the hour news. We'll be back with another hour of Caesar Sportsbook First Take right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Ah, yes, indeed. Happy game day, Hoodat Nation, here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, also Chris Coleman, running master control for us here as we get ready for the countdown to kickoff coming up at 1 o'clock. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, will be joining us. And then at 3:05, to be exact, is kickoff in SoFi Stadium between the New Orleans Saints and L.A. Chargers. And the Black and Gold's first preseason matchup of this season. We know that Spencer Rattler is going to be getting the guy getting the nod at starting in this matchup. But imagine when they come back for the preseason contest against Jacksonville, we will probably see Tyler Shuck getting a run with the ones.
It'll be interesting because you remember when we spoke with Scott Shanley a couple of weeks back, Steve, he said that they want to have if everything goes well,
right,
their starting quarterback for week one of the regular season decided by, you know, week two of the preseason, right? After the preseason game number two finishes against Jacksonville, you have a firm footing of who's going to be the starter for week one of the regular season. By now, it feels like it's still very much up in the air. Kellen said that during the presser on Friday, that even though he announced Spencer as the starter for preseason week one, that by no means means that he's the starter for regular season week one. So, but we'll see how he gets he said he earned the right to start this game throughout practice. He is in the lead for QB one. As Bobby has mentioned throughout training camp coverage, in all likelihood, he will be QB one when the Saints are playing the Cardinals. If the Saints were playing the Cardinals today, it would be Spencer Rattler taking those reps.
Yeah, and you've got to figure that with that 1 year of experience that Rattler has over Shuck,
sure,
it helps him because you're just a little more acclimated to the game. And from whoever's running the offense today, you definitely want to see a grasp of this offense, not sloppy play, you know, the people jumping off sides, things like that. And obviously the biggest one, I think, is coming out of this unscathed, very healthy.
I definitely want to see Tyler as well in this matchup because I think inconsistent is the best way to put how he's been at practice. But then you see all these other young quarterbacks that got drafted this past draft in 2025, and you're seeing them kind of show up in their early preseason action and look really, really solid in what was, you know, reported as not a good QB class. But these guys have been making plays in their first preseason action. Can Tyler Shuck kind of follow suit and do the same?
Yeah, we had mentioned that, you know, Shedeur Sanders balled out.
Jackson Dart, Cam Ward, all three of them looked really, really solid.
But if you have a sloppy outing from Tyler Shuck, oh boy, Hootats are going to be waiting to sound off about that.
Oh yeah, you know it.
Looking at this QB rotation, we mentioned Rattler getting that start, going to be QB one today. He talked about being that number one guy going into this first preseason matchup.
Super excited, you know, awesome opportunity. Excited to get out there with the guys and, you know, try to play some clean ball, try to score some points and have some fun with the guys out there.
Rattler learning a new offense, as in all the QBs are, with Kellen Moore now leading the way as the head coach and main offensive coordinator for this black and gold bunch. How's Rattler feeling in this offense right now?
I feel like just our group, we've been decisive, been playing fast. You know, we're all kind of playing well within the playbook, and we all understand it pretty well. And yeah, I just say, you know, we've been playing really decisive. Obviously a lot of playmakers, so distributing the ball has felt good. Everybody's healthy, and the guys look good. O-line's been great up front. So yeah, I mean, just the operation has been good. Obviously it's still a lot to work on, but I feel overall this camp's been, there's been a lot of growth.
Talking about that growth for Rattler in Kellen Moore's scheme, what's it like been running this offense right now?
You know, it kind of urges the quarterback to play decisive, you know, get the ball out on time, play fast, get through your progressions, know where you're going with the ball. And like I said, we got so many playmakers that could separate and get open within our system. I think, you know, I think it's been not easy, but it's been a smooth growth throughout camp, just playing fast, playing decisive. And that's just not me. That's, you know, everybody doing their part to make the operation look smooth.
This next cut, Rattler's going to be short and to the point, talking about what he's looking to accomplish in this preseason game.
I just want to play fast, play clean, and make the big plays when they're there, but take the easy ones when they give them to you.
And finally from Rattler, the pressure of this QB competition. What's he think?
I'm not going to try to press out there. I'm just going to play ball. No need to press. You know, our group's looking good right now, feeling good right now. Just got to go out there, play clean, operate smooth, however long I'm out there, and just go play clean ball, score some points, but no need to press.
Spencer Rattler mentioned there, Charlie, the not pressing, you know, not trying to do too much when he gets his time under center. And that was one thing I feel like kind of plagued Tyler Shuck as a rookie in training camp. It was, you saw him every rep that he was taking, what was going on in his mind. You could just feel that anxiety going on.
Overthinking maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
You want to see these young guys be confident.
Decisive. Right.
Exactly. Be quick. And that's what he had said in that really short cut talking about what he was looking to accomplish. Play fast, right? But be decisive, be confident in what you're doing, and go out there and prove that you deserve to be this starter, right? For all three of these guys, this quarterback competition is still open. And Kellen said the preseason games are, quote unquote, part of the puzzle, right, for deciding the starter.
Yeah.
They throw all the stuff from training camp in there as well, all the practice sessions, the scrimmages, and then they use, you know, the preseason action is almost the final piece of the pie. in figuring out who is going to be the QB1 week one, Sunday, September 7th versus Arizona. So,
yeah, like you're talking about there, I don't think the preseason's everything, but when you're actually getting those that live game reps, I would think those are a little more weighted snaps.
Right. I think part of the puzzle is maybe even underselling it a little bit. I think it's a big piece of the pie, but it's still part of the pie, right, in this entire QB competition. So, yeah, I mean, go out there and prove it. That's what you want to see from Spencer Rattler. Be confident. This is your second preseason now, second offseason with the black and gold. And go show that you've made some strides, right? Former fifth-round pick, you weren't expected to be the starter, obviously, year one. Now you're in that competition to potentially earn that role. So you definitely want to see him be confident.
And you're hoping that the growth, there's growth from last year because you did get thrown to the Wolves right off the bat unexpectedly because of Derek Carr's injury. And now the Saints are in a, you know, odd situation with three young guys vying for this starting gig because Derek Carr did walk away from playing football. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
But it's like we had said almost with some of the guys in different spots, the opportunity that's available to him for him to go out and take this job by the reins. So it should be very interesting to see how Spencer Rattler handles this because, I mean, it sounds like he's made strides in his second offseason, but you still have to win this battle. It's still up for grabs. Go get it.
Yeah, I definitely believe in the confidence of Rattler, a guy that carries himself with that, you know, you termed that title, that aura, that air about him.
Yeah.
He definitely carries that, and you can feel that when he's speaking. Now can a healthy offensive line and, you know, an accompaniment of weapons around him, it was definitely not a fair evaluation last year.
Correct.
So I'm not going to hold what, you know, went wrong for Rattler last season against him.
Yeah, the cupboard was a little bit bare when your wide receiver one was Marquez Valdez-Scantling and your starting offensive line was just makeshift because of all the injuries that the Saints suffered up front. This is something that I guess we could bring up now, Steve, before we get into the Tyler Shuck audio.
Yeah.
One thing that's a little bit concerning to me about this Saints team is, yes, they have plenty of talent on their offensive line, the starting five unit. The depth is a little bit of a concern. Granted, Bobby's made a great point about this. No team in the NFL has offensive line depth right now. It is one of the premium spots that has kind of been underserved in recent years. But behind Kelvin Banks Jr., Trevor Penning, Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, and Taliese Fuaga left to right, like, who are the guys? Because typically you'll carry, you know, nine, maybe eight offensive linemen, right? Kind of the reserves. Guys like Landon Young, Dylan Raidens, Will Clapp, you know, Shane Lemieux. I think you guys had mentioned Josiah Isserim, who was the seventh round pick last year, has had issues at tackle, backup tackle, but he's going to get some run today, get some evaluation there as well. It just feels like behind those starting guys, if, and there always are injuries on the offensive line, but if the Saints suffer injuries on the offensive line like they did last year, I mean, that unit could definitely be in trouble.
Another one that's been kind of, you've written his name down in notes during training camp and someone that you're keeping an eye on, Torricelli Simpkins III.
Yeah. I mean, he's an interior guy.
Yeah.
Right. So he's going to be in that competition with someone like Dylan Raidens, Will Clapp, Shane Lemieux, kind of other veteran pieces that are the backups on the interior. My question mark is like tackles, right? You like what you have in those two picks, the first round picks over the last 2 years with Tali Fuaga and Kelvin Banks. But if either one of them goes down, I guess it's like Landon Young is your immediate replacement.
I would think so because he's got the most experience.
You're kind of flex tackle. But then who's, I guess, tackle four, you would say? Like who's the other backup tackle on the list right now? Is it Isserim, the former seventh round pick? Because from what we've been hearing from camp, is he's had some issues.
A little bit of a turnstile.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I mean, if you're talking about depth on the offensive line, it's definitely a little bit concerning to me entering this upcoming season.
One of the, you know, guys on that tackle spot that they recently brought in, it was Jonathan Mendoza, just
He's a massive dude.
He stands out for sure when you see him on the field.
So even if you don't see the starting five on the Saints offensive line get a ton of run today, that's going to be something to watch. Like, can any of these guys really stand out as far as depth pieces? You know what your starting five is for week one. But who's going to kind of emerge and make the 53-man roster at offensive line? That's something to keep an eye on, too.
That's actually something you bring up there. You're thinking that starting five is set. I think the really biggest question was Trevor Penning adjusting to the guard spot, and would like a guy, someone like Dylan Raidens push him for a starting role?
Yeah.
And I guess we'll still kind of wait and see, but the reviews of Penning thus far at training camp haven't been negative, thankfully.
Yeah, I remember Jeff had that exclusive with Brendan Nugent, the offensive line coach, and he talked about, and Trevor's embraced the move to guard too. Like he's
all about it, right?
Yeah, he thinks that it fits his skill set better than tackle does. Brendan Nugent agreed that, you know, when you're at guard versus when you're at tackle, there's less space to work in, and you can be a lot more physical at guard, and he can kind of fit, it fits his mauling play style, right, better than maybe a tackle did, where you're a little bit more out on an island. When you're at guard, there's less space. We talk about the quote-unquote phone booth, like you're fighting in a phone booth. That's what Trevor Penning's good at, and playing left guard, I think it's going to be a good switch for him. That was one of the positions at camp that we had, similar to kind of like the Blake Groupie versus Charlie Smith, we're like, oh, is Trevor Penning going to have to earn that spot? It feels like he's kind of earned it already, and that starting five offensive line is kind of set in stone. It's more about who are going to be the guys behind them.
It's really amazing, and we talk about it a lot, the investment that the Saints squad made into that offensive line, 4 first-round picks and a high second-rounder with Eric McCoy at center.
Yeah, and Kellen said that it's got to be the leadership group on this team. And by the time you're in the back half of the season, right, this team is going to be led by that offensive line unit because of all the talent that's up front and all the talent that they've invested in building that front five. Kellen said it multiple times before, it's a big boy game, and they want to have the talent in the trenches, and they have plenty of it on that front five for the offensive line.
Would love to see him be able to mold and shape this Saints offensive line the way the Eagles' O-line has turned out.
Man, let me tell you something. If Kelvin Banks and Tali Fuaga can turn into what they got at the tackle spots over in Philadelphia with Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson, I think a lot of Saints fans would be very, very happy.
Want to hear you folks sound off on our WWL talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. We're going to step away on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. When we get back, we'll hear some audio from the other QB in the mix, Tyler Shuck. So stay tuned right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into First Take, folks. We do have preseason action going on before the black and gold begin. Dolphins taking on the Bears today, and I'll be curious to see exactly what Chicago decides to do. Is, will Caleb Williams get some run? Haven't seen early on what the plan was for the Dolphins and Bears games with starters out there. But Caleb's another one coming into this year. Kind of a ho-hum, you know, rookie season for him last year.
He flashed the talent, but he was just not very comfortable in the pocket. And yes, you can talk about their offensive line being bad, but you know, when you're sacked 65 plus times in a 17 game season, some of those sacks are on you as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to click on here to see what's going on.
Tua's getting some runs, so I imagine.
And Tyson Bagent was in. He was 2 for 4 for 13 yards already, so no Caleb.
Once again, I guess it's week one of the preseason. You're seeing some teams, every team kind of goes about it a little bit differently. Some teams will play their starters right off the bat. Other teams will kind of hold them out, maybe play them in week two, maybe play them in week three. Just give them a little bit of run at some point. I don't even think you're going to really see any teams just say, we don't want to give our starters any run at all throughout the preseason. So I would be surprised if Caleb doesn't play week two or week three, but they're not playing him week one, apparently.
We know that starting with the twos today, it will be Tyler Shuck, the rookie, getting his run at quarterback. Spencer Rattler, the main man today, starting for the black and gold, that 3 o'clock kickoff right here on WWL Saints Radio against the Chargers. Shuck was asked after Friday's scrimmage, how's he been feeling as a rookie in camp so far?
I'm getting more and more comfortable each day. I think that's been my whole goal, just get better and grow each day. And I think as time goes on, and I think we actually get into, you know, more realistic football as far as call-up period, scrimmaging, stuff like that, where that's where I feel like I'm the best in my own game. And I feel like I can continue to get better. But I think it's, you know, I'm going to try and get better each day, and I think I've done that.
He talked about the scrimmages, that one that was last week, and then on Friday the Black and Gold had another one out west. How's it been running the offense during those?
A lot of great efficiency when we're getting down there, and then a couple times in the red zone we didn't really finish how we wanted to. So I think it was a lot of fun for me, just kind of, I think that kind of triggered for me mentally, just kind of going out there and playing and not trying to be too perfect, having fun. So I think it's been a really good progression for me, and excited to kind of get out there on the game.
You heard Shuck say right there, you know, it's not going to be perfect, and that's hard to stomach as a competitor in the NFL. But he also knows that he's got to be a guy that's improving every day at practice.
I'm not going to be Tom Brady or Drew Brees in training camp right now. I want to aspire to continue to grow, and I think the coaches have done a good job of just facilitating a lot of these practices, and especially kind of towards the end where we're getting into more realistic scenarios. And I feel like I've, you know, progressively gotten better and more comfortable. But I expect myself to play at the, you know, the best of my ability. And I think the lesson I've learned is just you're going to have to accept failure sometimes and keep going, you know what I mean?
Charlie and I talked about we don't know how these reps are going to go, and there's a limited number of them as well. Shuck talked about handling the snaps he does get.
Every time I'm out there, I want to throw with conviction and operate and bring a lot of juice to the huddle and making sure we're procedurally good and all those things. And if you look at it analytically, and you know, that's how I want to do how I want to operate and have fun with it.
This is a big one today for Shuck, even though it's not a starting spot for him. But when he does get on the field, you just want to see command, that confidence, and definitely no turnovers.
Kellen Moore and the Saints offensive staff are the only ones that know what percentage of the snaps these guys are going to get. If I had to just look into my crystal ball, though, Steve, pull the rabbit out of the hat, make my prediction, I think Shuck's probably going to get the most run of all three of these guys today. Wouldn't you expect? Because if you're talking about Spencer coming out early, maybe he gets some good run in the first quarter, potentially into the second quarter.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe he even takes it to the half.
You think he's going to play the full first
half? Maybe, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we're
going
to have to wait and see. Your guess is as good as mine, though.
I mean, that's just my kind of prediction, is how much run does Rattler get with the ones, and then maybe he gets a little bit of run with some of the backup players, and then I think you probably see where this quarterback competition's at with who comes out next. Is Jay Kaner the second guy out of the tunnel, or is it Tyler Shuck? So, but if you're talking
about... I think it's Shuck. I think you do too, huh?
I would agree, but we don't know. It's all kind of predicting at this point. We could be completely wrong. I would imagine it would be Shuck next, and then Haner as well. All three guys are going to get some type of run. It's going back to the pie analogy, what percentage of the snaps is Rattler going to get? What percentage of the snaps is Shuck going to get? What percentage of the snaps is Haner going to get? I say Shuck because you've seen him in the practice setting, but you haven't really, and you've seen him in the scrimmage setting as well, but you haven't seen him in the game setting yet. Kind of throw the kid out there, yeah. Right? Give him a few drives. Let him kind of get his feet wet, so to speak, in the preseason action. If I'm Kellen Moore and that offensive coaching staff, I want to get a very strong look at what the kid looks like under the lights.
Another guy that's trying to make an impression, though, Jay Kaner, still in the mix in this QB competition. We don't necessarily, I think, feel like he's in the running for that number one gig, but he's
hanging in there, though.
Yeah, definitely has not looked like a guy you wouldn't, if you're comparing him to what we've seen out of Tyler Shuck, and that's not fair either for Shuck as a rookie in this camp, but we've seen Haner hanging in there.
Exactly, and the fact that he's still part of that job kind of shows how tight it is, or part of that competition. It's going to come down to the next couple weeks. And we're getting close to the regular season. You have to have a QB1 decided well before then.
Yeah,
and
we can't say early in camp anymore.
Exactly. We're 2.5 weeks into camp. We're now into the preseason action. This is where the Saints finally get their last part of the evaluation, and the coaching staff will make that decision.
Definitely a disappointment for Haner, but what was it like for him and not being named the Game 1 preseason starter?
Just got to make the most of every opportunity I can. At the end of the day, I just got to go in with whatever group I'm supposed to be in with at the time and go and execute.
You heard him right there. Whatever group I'm supposed to be in with. So he doesn't know the rotation either, right? That's at that moment on Friday after the scrimmage.
It'll be interesting to see if he is the second guy out there. Because we know all three of them are going to get some run. It's so hard to predict. Only Kellen Moore knows. And that offensive coaching staff says, oh, we want to see more of this guy in under the lights, in actual game action against an opponent, versus what you've seen so far throughout training camp at practice against yourselves.
Haner's another dude, though, that you know, he carries himself with confidence. You feel he walks the talk. How's he feeling about his camp so far?
I feel like every time I'm out there, I feel like I do a good job of operating, you know, finding completions, trying to limit turnovers, obviously, and make good decisions. But at the end of the day, you know, I feel like I've done a really good job of processing, executing, getting the ball out of my hand and finding my checkdowns when I have to.
Jay Kaner, the Saints' other quarterback in this battle that, you know, kind of, I don't want to say he's forgotten about, but definitely doesn't get talked about as much as Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler.
Right, because, you know, the start that he did get last year when he was given that
opportunity.
Didn't
even get a full start.
Did not go well. And that's been the criticism of Jay Kaner, is practice player, not a game player. And so for Jake, go out and prove people wrong. Go out and have a good performance in the preseason. All of these guys are, that's why it's such a really fun competition to watch, is because nothing's decided there yet. Like, once again, if the season was starting tomorrow, Spencer Rattler would likely be your game one starter. However, it does not start tomorrow. We have 3 weeks of the preseason to go through. All of this tape that the Saints coaching staff is going to be able to grab and evaluate and kind of use to help them make that final decision about who QB1 is going to end up being. We'll see what happens, man. It's going to be one of my biggest questions entering today's contest is how many snaps is each one of these guys going to get? How many drives is each one of these guys going to get? It also kind of depends on per drive basis, because like Bobby had mentioned earlier in the week, if Spencer Rattler gets the start and he goes three and out, I mean, that's six reps that you're getting. It's not a bunch. So you kind of extend it a little bit past what you were initially expecting.
Going to take your calls on the WWL talk and text line. You can sound off 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into some more audio. Hear from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, an interview that the Cajun Cannon and I did at training camp earlier in the sessions. We'll take a break here on First Take, brought to you by Caesar Sportsbook, and be back with even more right after this on WWL. Yes, indeed. Nothing like Saints football. Just saw our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, tweeting out, it is football day, hashtag Saints, and in a view of SoFi Stadium. Just great to be back in the mix, Charlie. We've obviously, it's been tons of talking, speculating, yep. You know, but now we get some kind of game action, even though it is just preseason.
Finally, man. And the Saints fans had to wait, too. Think of all the games that happened yesterday, and the Saints are the final game of week one of the preseason. Sure, why not?
And we'll give a shout-out to, as well, Jay Johnson. Thank you for and the Tigers for carrying us to a little longer to get, you know, into the football season thing of things. But that College World Series run for the Bayou Bengals was awesome.
Definitely shortens our offseason, Steve.
We definitely appreciate that. The Cajun Cannon and myself, we're talking about the running back competition. Caught up with former LSU Tiger Clyde Edwards-Helaire earlier in Saints training camp and wanted to play that as we get ready to get into preseason game number one, since Clyde's a guy who we expect to get pretty much a good run today in the opener. Let's hear what Clyde Edwards-Helaire had to say at camp.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Happy to welcome in now Saints running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. How's it been going this training camp, man?
It's going good. It's going good. You know, just being able to get the reps where the reps are needed. Obviously, you know, we got a lot of heads and a lot of backs in the running back room. So it's really just been really just understanding the offense. If you can understand the offense, being able to get on the field and execute and making your reps count.
Clyde, today looks like one of your better practices. I said, well, that looks like, you know, then I take you down to the ground, and I gave you like three carries for 20-plus yards. That's like a 7-yard average.
Yeah.
And it seems like your vision was really smooth out there today.
Yeah, most definitely. I would say, I mean, even talking to the running back coach the past few weeks, he would say most of my runs have been pulled in the RPO game. So he really just wanted to get the ball in my hand most definitely today so we can, you know, see some runs. And I told him, like, put the ball in my hand. I'll still show you, you know, what I can do and what I can showcase. So, you know, even if I was talking to Nuss today, he was like, you know, we want to get the ball in your hand and see you move a little bit. So just still showing that I'm that dude when I got the ball in my hand and rolling. So that's what you're seeing today, me getting the opportunity.
Yeah, speaking of that opportunity, I'm sure you're expecting that, you know, obviously when you're going out to California, that'll continue, and then the Chargers preseason game.
Yeah.
And it's all about those opportunities and reps. And you being a veteran now, you know those reps are valuable, and how you got to take advantage of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the name of the game, you know, just really being available when you when your number's called, and then not only that, executing when you are available. So, you know, I would say this being my sixth year in the league, I kind of know what is expected and what should be showcased, and I'm going to go out there and make it happen.
Clyde, because you in the huddle with him, what would, like, separate a guy, because you play with him, and like a Pat Mahomes versus these young quarterbacks we have out here right now? Like, if you can say one, two, or three things, like, and everyone's different, yeah. But then you can say, like, whoa, you could see Pat Mahomes, why he's Pat Mahomes. So.
I would say really just always being not even two steps ahead of everybody. I would say we could, playing with those guys, already kind of knew what type of play call was coming in, already knew what the head coach was thinking, making adjustments on the fly as far as being able to see the defenses, and then just having the wherewithal to understand, like, oh, well, some of these plays don't work, so I'm going to have to make some adjustments to make sure we get the ball downfield or just be more successful than what the defense is going to be on this play. And once you kind of get that aspect down and knowing, like, positive yards are always a positive thing, being able to move the chains is always positive, and understanding that, you know, it's not always about the bomb. Sometimes getting to the check down will make you live longer, so you can have more success on the further end of the field.
You mentioned the running backs coach earlier. What's it like having Joel Thomas now in the mix? He's back in black and gold too this year.
Yeah, I would say JT came in and really just had his foot in and knowing, like, I'm back home too, as far as from his perspective and his standpoint. He talks about, you know, him bringing in and being with AK and then being with Mark early on, and talks about all the guys that he had. But it's really just him knowing what the Saints were all about is a huge deal. You know, it's one thing, you know, I grew up around it and seeing it, but it's one thing when you have somebody who was actually in the building who felt it. And, you know, so he's bringing his perspective on it and his winning. And I feel like that's same all the way down the board.
Clyde, how fortunate you feel, because you know how football is such a priority in Louisiana, playing for the LSU Fighting Tigers and now the New Orleans Saints. And arguably, I think it was the best college season ever. And, you know, right now, I think that's what LSU's looking for. We need that run game. You know, going back to when y'all were national champions. But how does it feel just to be a part of that? And you know how the fans appreciate football here in these parts.
It's second to none. And I would say I feel it, man. I was born, I was raised here. I know what football means. I know, you know, how different it makes the whole
community,
you know, feel, and just how our reaction to when good football is played, everything is better. I feel like the weather's better, the food is better, and me being here, you know, I've lived, you know, on a team and in experience and in the city where we didn't lose a game, and you felt like you were bringing the city joy and the state joy every single weekend. And just being able to be here and I'm wanting to do that on a professional level is something that I want to do. So just having the opportunity to do it with the Saints is more than enough to fulfill my dreams. And I most definitely want to fulfill them here. Being able to finish off everything or, you know, get a Super Bowl ring or just play for as long as I possibly can for the Saints is most definitely what I want to do.
I think Tiger fans should be feeling week one going at Clemson.
Oh, man, feeling great, because I'm going to be on the plane headed there too. So
nice.
I'm excited.
Thanks so much for the time, Clyde. Good luck to you, and look forward to seeing you in action in the preseason and regular season.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank y'all so much.
Just heard from running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire there, going into year two with the black and gold and seeing, you know, what kind of role he can carve out in this offense. You know, it wasn't an ideal start for him in Kansas City. His rookie year was all right, but after that, just really regressed.
Clyde saying, quote, that I want to still prove that I'm that dude with the ball in my hands. I like that from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because, I mean, Steve, we've talked about it a little bit ad nauseum almost in the first 2 hours of this pregame show. That running back spot is so, so fun, because past Kamara, it's question marks. Yeah, you can pencil in Kendrick Miller as your RB2, but you got to earn that role.
Where Clyde definitely, I think, has an edge over these other folks is how active and successful he is in the receiving game. Yeah.
And that's why I think it's a similar thing with Marcus Shorns, the UDFA out of Delaware. I feel like those two are almost going to cancel each other out. One of them's going to win between Clyde and between Yarns. Do you want to go with the kind of the younger unknown or more of the experience with Clyde, or the rookie with Yarn? So those two are kind of play a similar role in the Saints running back room. You're looking for guys past Alvin that will give you something different. Devin Neal could potentially be like the more of the hammer, right, in the running back spot.
Even with Valus Jones Jr., he's a former receiver converted to running back, so you know he's more of that pass-catching option as well, but definitely got the speed.
But Valus has a little bit more to it with the special teams aspect as
sure.
well, potentially,
yeah.
That he could win that spot. all three of those guys, it feels like, could be battling it out for that fourth and final spot of the Saints running back room. Because right now, if we're projecting 3 weeks down the road where the Saints are making their cuts to get to that 53-man roster, we're thinking, obviously, Alvin, and then past that, Kendre in all likelihood, Devin Neal in all likelihood, because you use that draft pick on him, and then who's going to be the fourth guy? And it's all these, you know, veterans and the young guy and Yarns battling it out for that last spot. Is it going to be Clyde? Is it going to be Cam Akers, who we really haven't mentioned that much?
You're right, the veteran we know has dealt with some injury history in the past.
And apparently he got some run as the two on Friday's scrimmage.
Right.
So the Saints are obviously getting their good look at him, too, throughout the training camp action, preseason action. Clyde is in that mix. Velus Jones Jr. is in that mix. The running back competition, it's one of my favorites behind the quarterback to keep an eye on throughout the preseason, especially starting today.
Yeah, for me right now, we've talked about Kendre Miller. I have him in pencil
right
as that number two guy. Now, that third and fourth spots, I really don't know.
And do you carry four on your active 53-man roster? Or, like, Deuce had kind of projected that you carry three, and then the fourth guy is going to be on the practice squad? We'll just kind of have to see, Steve. And maybe if it is like the fourth guy on the practice squad, you kind of tend to lean towards the younger guy in a Marcus Yarns. But he's got to show up throughout the preseason as well. Every one of these running backs, just like the quarterbacks, has to make the most of their reps to win whatever competition they're in, whether they're in competition for that RB2 spot or whether they're in competition for RB3 or 4.
Getting closer to the countdown, the kickoff, folks. Just 10 minutes away before the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert joins us as we get ready for Saints football taking on the LA Chargers. Preseason game number one, folks. 3 o'clock kickoff right here on WWL Saints Radio. Taking a break. We'll be right back with more. So stay tuned after this on WWL. Yes, indeed. Coming up next, the countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Get all his insights and thoughts as we get into preseason game number one. Charlie, day is just beginning, but man, oh man, feels good to be back in black and gold action here.
Yes, sir, even though it is the preseason, and it's the last preseason week one game, which is crazy.
Just got to get through the preseason quick and get to the regular season.
Well, that's the funny thing is we always talk about this. We're like, oh, when does training camp get here? And then we get to training camp like, oh, when does real football get here? The preseason gets here. Like, oh, when does the regular season start? It's like one thing after the next, but we're in that second phase right now where we're excited that the preseason's back, and then next week we're going to be, oh, come on, let's get to the Cardinals
game already.
This isn't
real football. Yeah,
exactly. But it's all going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. There's so many things we talked about that you're looking forward to seeing in this Saints preseason opener. For me, definitely the QB reps and who's going to be taking what we after Spencer Rattler gets that run with the first teamers. And then, you know, we talked a lot about the running backs. I'm so curious how this ends up playing out behind Alvin Kamara.
That and also what, because Kellen had said about half a dozen on each side of the ball as far as the starters will not be playing in this game. So right. Who's actually not going to be playing?
I think we could scratch off Alvin, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis.
And probably Olave because of that ankle issue that he's dealing with.
That's a good one too, because I don't want to test him out right now either.
You know, we'll kind of see what ends up happening with the rest of the defense.
So there's four.
Probably check off, I mean, Justin.
Maybe McCoy? Or do you want him in there?
We had talked about this earlier in the week that I want to see the starting five right off the bat. Just give them some type of run immediately because you have three new pieces in new places, right? So let's see them get a little bit of run. You're not asking them to play a ton of football, at least right off the bat, but just have them play some snaps against the Chargers defensive front. It doesn't have to be a full half or a full game or anything like that, but just give them a little bit.
Another one I'm curious about, Juwan Johnson, tight end, because he was dealing with a groin issue.
We'll
see. He kind of let him sit off to the side and let some of the other tight ends get the reps.
Get Jack Stoll and Michael Jacobson.
That's what we've been seeing at practice.
Right. Maliki Matavau, the seventh-round rookie. Get those guys some run.
Well, that's a wrap on our first edition of the Caesar Spurtsburg First Take for this year, Charlie. Great to be back in the flow, like we said, and preseason will be short because just three matchups going on.
Yeah, this is the last time I'm going to be doing this for a while, Steve, actually, because they got the four straight home
games. You're my away guest.
Yeah, right. So I'll be back September 21st when they're at Seattle, but it definitely was a lot of fun.
For Coleman and Charlie, I'm Steve Geller taking a break. We'll be right back with more as the countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannons about to start. So stay tuned, folks, on WWL Saints Radio. Who dat?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.